This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, May 8th, 2013. I'm Antoinette Graham.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle. SONA, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, will present its season finale, a John Williams tribute concert, Saturday, May 18th at 7:30 p.m. at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. SONA musicians and singers will perform highlights from movies like Schindler's List, Star Wars, E.T., Jaws, Harry Potter, and more. Tickets available at 443-5600 or sonamusic.org.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, a conversation with Congressman Tim Griffin. Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas talks to him about the Mayflower oil spill and more. Plus, the conclusion to our two-part oral history with 98-year-old Yell County resident Bud Rector. The latest installment of Arkansongs, a brief chat with musician Gregory Allen Isakoff, and more.
First, 5 weeks after the oil spill in Mayflower, Attorney General Dustin McDaniel says he still has concerns about health effects on nearby residents. Yesterday, he announced the creation of a task force that will serve as a clearinghouse for people in the town.
They are working with the Department of Health to oversee air sampling that we are conducting in residents' homes. I have a real concern about the short and long-term effects of carcinogens released into the air, which are still detectable in the living rooms of people in that area.
In particular, McDaniel says benzene can still be detected, though state environmental officials say they are at levels low enough that they are not unsafe. The attorney general also says he's not satisfied with ExxonMobil's offer to buy only some homes in the area, saying the company should be willing to purchase all 22 homes in the neighborhood where the pipeline ruptured at their pre-spill values.
Fort Smith residents will soon pay less for sanitation services. Last night, the City Board of Directors approved the decrease that will take effect July 1st. Bayardi Nikakuli, the city sanitation director, says the rate decrease is possible because of savings gleaned from automating trash collection for the entire city.
As a result of the efficiencies we've realized over the past 7 years, I told the board then that if they would, in fact, allow me to automate the remaining households, which at that time was about 4,100, that we felt that we would realize enough benefit from the efficiencies and cost effectiveness of the program that I actually could offer a rate decrease. We calculated it last year, and it came out to be about $1.10 per month, and we put it in the budget.
Nikakuli says while the rate decrease is possible now, costs associated with solid waste collection are ever increasing, especially when accounting for costs such as equipment, fuel personnel, and even replacement and repair of trash carts.
I expect that we'll be able to maintain this reduction in rate for a minimum of 2 years. And what I was very specific about is that although the automated refuse or mechanized method of collecting trash recyclables in the city has offered us benefits in the reduction of personnel injuries, turnover rate, we can do more work with the same amount of personnel, and of course we didn't have to lay off anyone. We still have those increasing costs, so it's basically a hedge to sort of help us to better manage the ever-increasing costs.
Not only is trash collection automated, but Nikakuli says the city is beginning the process of automating collection of recyclables, and he hopes to automate collection of yard waste by 2016.
The city of Greenwood is one step closer to having a formal set of regulations for commercial developments within the city. Sunny Bell, the city's planning director, says while residential development has been regulated for several years, commercial development regulations were brought up some years ago but never approved by the city council. He says not much has changed in the regulations since the issue was originally brought up, and the regulations contain common sense construction standards.
Some of the things are the facades of buildings, adequate parking, Landscaping, making sure that they are under state fire code. Of course, they supersede anything else, but it just more or less spells it out to the developers where they can look at this and say, this is how we need to draw this up when we submit this to an architect. And then the architect, of course, will have a copy of our commercial guidelines. And as they design buildings for developers or even for going back and doing remodeling, then they would be able to have these commercial guidelines in front of them.
Bell says he doesn't expect the new regulations to have an impact on attracting commercial developments to Greenwood.
When it does come, we will be prepared for it. I mean, it's not going to be a magnet to draw businesses in there. It's not going to be a deterrent for businesses because it puts us up into the same category as, you know, a Fayetteville or a Fort Smith or any other community that, you know, prides itself on what its city looks like.
However, the development regulations are not yet final. Last night, the Greenwood City Council approved the second reading of the ordinance. It will need to pass a third reading before the regulations are codified.
This Saturday, the city of Bentonville will take part in the Great American Cleanup with a citywide cleanup of its own. Danielle Chastine, Community Programs Coordinator for the city of Bentonville, says that the cleanup will target cleaning along streets throughout the city.
Our parks are pretty clean and our trails are pretty clean too. So it's usually just along the city streets with construction debris and all the wind and everything. And usually at major intersections, there's lots of trash too from people throwing trash out their car window while sitting at a stoplight.
Chastine says the Great American Cleanup is a national campaign that normally takes place between the months of March and May, and that Bentonville normally holds its citywide cleanup during May because the weather is usually more favorable than in March or April. I said usually.
I heard that.
Anyone interested in helping with the cleanup can pre-register by contacting Chastine by email at dchastine@bentonvillear.com or by phone at 271-6826.
If you wanted to see Saturday's commencement ceremonies at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville but are unable to be physically present, you're in luck. As has been custom for the past couple of years, video of most ceremonies will be streamed live online. All ceremonies to be held in Bud Walton and Barnhill Arenas will be streamed online. The only ceremony that won't be available for streaming will be the Fay Jones School of Architecture ceremony, which is scheduled to be held in Verizon Ballroom. For links to the program streams and for more information, you can go to newswire.uark.edu.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals dropped the series finale yesterday afternoon against the Arkansas Travelers. The Nats lost 6-0 at Arvis Ballpark. The Nats split the series with the Travs. After the four-game homestand, the Nats are 11-19 on the year. The team will open a 9-game road stretch tomorrow night, starting with a 4-game series in Springfield.
20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 tonight. Lows will be upper 50s in northwest Arkansas, around 60 tonight for the Arkansas River Valley. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, 60% chance of rain. Highs in the mid-70s in northwest Arkansas. For the Arkansas River Valley tomorrow, 40% chance of showers. Highs around 79. And for tomorrow night, 60% chance of showers before 1 a.m. Lows around 60.
Pegasus Pipeline oil spill in Mayflower has remained a serious story for more than a month now. This week, local officials are urging Exxon to be more aggressive in its inspection, maintenance, and precautionary moves. Recently, Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas sat down with Congressman Tim Griffin, who represents the 2nd Congressional District in Arkansas, to learn more.
You've had Representative Bud Schuster in state to talk about some infrastructure projects. You guys have looked and toured at this facility. You spent probably more time in Mayflower than you thought you would as a congressman representing the 2nd District. Do you have a different perspective now in terms of oil and pipeline safety than before this all occurred?
Well, I'd say a couple of things. First of all, we passed a pipeline safety bill in 2011, which I'm glad to say passed the House, Senate, and President signed into law, which stiffened penalties and made safety more of a priority for the pipelines we have in the country. What I can tell you is once this occurred with this old pipeline in Mayflower, I took a close look at where the pipeline goes with regard to the watershed here in Pulaski County. And I have real grave concerns about what might happen if something were to go wrong there, because the shape of the land is such it would be very difficult to clean up any accident in comparison to Mayflower because of the steepness of some of the land and what have you. But we have 170,000 miles of pipeline in this country. We're going to continue to have pipelines. They are safer than moving oil, let's say, by train, or moving oil up and down the interstate where we drive. So we've got to make sure they're the safest they can be. With Keystone Pipeline, for example, there have been numerous studies, and there are 57 additional safety measures that the federal government has required with the Keystone Pipeline. So I printed out those the other day, showed them to the mayor, showed them to some other Central Arkansas Water, and I said, well, hey, if the federal government's requiring that on Keystone, maybe we can get some ideas here to make our pipeline safer. Certainly the age is a concern, but there are other concerns.
You have obviously you've stated your interest, and others have stated their interest in moving that pipeline out of the Maumelle watershed. Do you sense that that will be done? Do you think that ExxonMobil will be willing to do that?
They may not be willing to, raising their hand to do it, but that's what we're going to push them to do. And we're going to look at every option, I think it's fair to say, every option available to us.
What are some of those options?
Well, we are looking through that now. There's a lawyer assisting Central Arkansas Water with the research on that. PHMSA, which is the federal agency that regulates hazardous materials and pipelines, tells us that they do not have the jurisdiction, the legal power, to force that pipeline to be moved. There are other options that we're looking at. And I think it's fair to say that the coalition that has come together, including the mayor and the county judge, that we will be, once we reach a point where we've done all that research, we'll let folks know.
Let's turn our attention to some other matters of politics here in Arkansas. This past week, Nancy Pelosi was in Little Rock, the House Minority Leader, former Speaker of the House. I know you're not a big fan of Nancy Pelosi. You've made no bones about that. She said that she prayed that Hillary Clinton would run for president in 2016. Do you pray that Hillary Clinton runs for president in 2016?
Well, I pray every day with my kids, and I usually don't put a lot of national politics in those prayers. I'll give that some thought. Look, I think that I was just with Secretary Clinton a few minutes ago, and obviously I have a lot of different views than Secretary Clinton, but I certainly respect all her service to the country and respect her as an individual.
Well, to my point, though, do you think that her running for president is beneficial for Republicans in the state, in Arkansas and in the country?
Well, I think the key to Republicans winning is to put up candidates that are full of ideas, and that can win regardless of who runs on the other side. With regard to Speaker Pelosi, I certainly disagree. I don't have any ill will against her personally. I certainly disagree with her on just about everything. Look, I think the key for Republicans is put candidates forward who have ideas that can move this country forward on jobs and a smarter government. Those candidates need to be able to articulate and communicate their vision and their ideas. And then we'll win. I believe that. I believe our ideas stand on their own. And I believe that applies at the state rep level, at the county judge, quorum court level. I think it applies to mayors and congressmen and senators and presidents. So I believe we should have great candidates with great ideas, and everything else will take care
regardless
of
itself. Regardless of Hillary Clinton running or not running, it won't make a difference.
That's right.
All right, so the U.S. Senate race, high-profile race this next year. First of all, you have told me several months ago, that you are not looking to run for governor or U.S. Senate in 2014 because of your House Ways and Means Committee appointment.
Well,
are you still at that point?
Yes. I would say it's not just because of Ways and Means. I think... There are a lot of different factors, and these are the type of decisions that you make with your family, my wife in particular. I certainly listen to my 3-year-old, my 5-year-old, but I listen to my wife, and we pray about these decisions, and they're very, very serious decisions. I am still focused on my service in the House. I believe that we will have an outstanding Senate candidate. I believe that individual will be Tom Cotton. I believe that he will win.
Why do you believe that candidate will be Tom Cotton? Because Tom Cotton told me on Thursday that when I asked him if he was planning on running for the U.S. Senate and challenging Mark Pryor, he said, "I learned in the Army, it's never a good idea to say never. It's always a bad idea to say always."
Well,
that to me says the door is definitely wide open.
Well, I've also been in the Army, still am in the Army, been in 17 years. And I would lean on what I've learned in the Army, and that would be always plan for your next campaign. And look, whether he's planning on it or not, you ask me my opinion. I'm certainly going to encourage him to run. We will have a strong candidate. I believe it will be him, even if he doesn't know it yet.
That was Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas, speaking recently with Congressman Tim Griffin, who represents the 2nd Congressional District in Arkansas. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at aecc.com.
Brian Goldman was always a perfect student.
A classmate of mine in high school once said that Brian Goldman would study for a blood test.
Now that he's a doctor, he teaches med students.
Many of them have that look in their eyes that they're pristine. They've never made a mistake, and they never will. Of course, until it happens.
Making Mistakes, that's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
The TED Radio Hour, Sunday at noon here on KUAF 91.3 FM.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Singer, songwriter, musician Gregory Allen Isakoff is in town for a concert tonight. He was also in Bella Vista last night.
Mm-hmm. He was at the Cooper Chapel in Bella Vista, opened for 3 Penny Acre as part of Artisphere, their smaller concerts, concerts in smaller venues, I should say. And it was a good time. It was really cool. I'd been to the chapel before, basically for weddings. And so to be in there for something that was just music was great. It was really pretty. It was nice and green and sunshiny. And the music was good. Sad it wasn't a little longer.
But not quite long enough for you?
Well, it was only like an hour 20. Mm. Yeah. So between the two bands.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, folks have a chance to see him again tonight.
Mm-hmm. At George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville.
Well, yesterday, just after Gregory Allen Isakoff arrived in Northwest Arkansas, and a few hours before last night's concert, I talked to him briefly about his new CD to be released in early July. What you're hearing right now is the one song that's been released early. It's titled St. Valentine. Cigarettes and never came home. And I swallowed the sun, screamed and wailed. Straight down to the dirt so I could find her trail. Spread out across the great divide. The CD is titled The Weatherman. A bit more about that choice of a title in a bit. And Gregory Allen Isakoff sequestered himself in a studio in the small Colorado mountain town of Nederland and used mostly analog equipment to capture the 13 songs. He calls the process pretty organic.
It took about a year, but, you know, that's kind of like in between tours. And it feels really good to be finished.
He says the original idea he had for his third full-length CD changed over the 12 months or so he was putting it together.
It did, you know. I actually wrote a whole other record. I recorded a whole other record before The Weatherman, and I was working on. It was songs that were quite old, at least three, you know, some of them are 3 years old. But I was writing a lot, and so I kind of just wanted to keep going with the new songs, and so I sort of let the old record go. We still might release it later, but it just felt right to kind of just work towards all the new stuff that was happening.
A basic analog approach to a record put together in a very primary recording style can lead to comparisons with another record completed in similar fashion, Bruce Springsteen's Spare Nebraska. Isaac Hoff accepts that comparison, saying Nebraska is one of his favorite recordings. The one song released so far indicates more instrumentation than heard on Nebraska, but Gregory says it's fair to call his next record Stripped Down.
Yes, the record's very stripped down. And it, you know, we did record a lot of musicians on it, and a lot of them, you know, some of them are just me and just the trio band that I play with now, and a lot of them I played drums on and organs and stuff, but just, you know, a real little bit amount.
Last night, he played an acoustic set inside the Mildred B. Cooper Chapel in Bella Vista, a serene venue created by Faye Jones. Tonight, he's on stage at George's Majestic Lounge on Dixon Street, an entirely different affair. He says he and his bandmates can be influenced by where they're playing when creating an evening's playlist.
We never figure that out until we get there. And sometimes we don't even decide that even then. I think I think every room has a sort of different vibe to it. So you're always trying to play the room because that's like that's kind of like your big instrument, really. Hmm. So, you know, some things won't work in a certain room and some things will. You know, tonight we're playing like an acoustic show in a church. I think there's like maybe one like omnidirectional mic that we all share. And so some songs work better than others in that situation.
A phonograph. I was a kid. I sat with an ear close, just listening. Was there when the rain tapped away down your face? You were a miracle. Eyes just holding your space.
That's Big Black Car from his 2009 CD, This Empty Northern Hemisphere. His third CD will be released July 9th and carries the title The Weatherman. He says he picked that title because he's fascinated by the role of the weatherman in contemporary society.
You know, it's sort of like this modern day fortune teller, you know? It's like this, you know, there's this guy that tells us the future, you know, every day and like no one really cares, you know? So it has this kind of magical element to it for me. It's kind of like a powerful image for me. But it's this very mundane, you know, I kind of always see like a TV playing in a trailer or something like that, you know, and the weather's on or something. And no one cares, but really it's like this amazing, you know, mystery.
Singer, songwriter, and musician Gregory Allen Isaacoff will perform tonight at George's Majestic Lounge on Dixon Street in Fayetteville. Lizzie Lehman will open that show. I talked with Gregory yesterday just after he'd arrived in Northwest Arkansas. You can learn more at GregoryAllenIsaacoff.com.
Carnival, we watch them go round and round. All we knew of home was just a sunset and some clowns. Oh, well, you were a magazine, I was a plain Jane, just walking the sidewalks covered in rain. Loved it, just got out.
It is Wednesday, May 8th, 2013, and this is Ozarks at Large. Joining me now is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
It's that time of year.
What time is that?
When home tours pop up out of the ground like mushrooms after a rain.
Yes, it is. It is that time.
and kicking them off for the spring, although spring seems to be starting later.
Sure, sure.
But kicking them off for the spring is Washington Elementary's PTO annual tour of homes. This is number 10, benefiting Washington Elementary in Fayetteville. Tickets are $20 right now at the school office, French Metro Antiques, the Gift House, or the Bank of Fayetteville downtown, or you can pick them up the day of the event for, I believe it's $25. There's, I believe, five homes on the tour.
That sounds
right. It is self-guided, and it will start at noon on Saturday and continue till 5 p.m. You can call the school to find out more.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin-Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
On the next Fresh Air, how Wall Street defanged Dodd-Frank. Gary Rivlin tells us how this Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, which was signed into law 3 years ago, has subsequently been attacked and weakened by financial industry lobbyists and lawyers. It's the subject of Rivlin's article in The Nation. Join us.
Fresh Air this evening at 6 here on KUAF.
In the 1930s, traveling about parts of our region wasn't very easy. You can ask Bud Rector about that. He was already in his mid-20s by the time the 1930s ended. Ozarks at Large's Meredith Martin Moats recently sat in on a conversation with Mr. Rector, who will turn 99 later this year and has lived almost all of his life in Yell County. We conclude her two-part report on his recollections of an Arkansas that has nearly vanished.
In part two of this recorded oral history with Bud Rector and J.L. Martin, they touch on some of the one-room schoolhouses in rural Yell County, the dangers of dirt roads, the days of regional gospel quartets, and the use of dynamite to dig graves in the Harkey Valley Cemetery.
Fairview Elementary School up there in the valley used to be a big old log schoolhouse, about big good as this, wasn't it, that schoolhouse was. And that's where I went 8 years, and then I went up there, and Dad wasn't able to board us out of town and put us in the high school down there. So I went 2 years in eighth grade up there. Big old one room. It had big old long recitation benches, you know, a big old pot-bellied stove in the middle of the big old benches on each side of it. Kids froze to death in there trying to keep warm the winter, I guess. We've had a lot of good times up that valley, haven't we?
You bet. A lot of good times and a lot of hard times.
Yes, sir. A lot of hard times.
I've seen that road right out there where that pavement's at with, in the wintertime, with ruts that deep in it, and you have too.
I mean, I
tore up three or four cars just coming out of here. I mean, if you met someone, you're just probably getting a ditch.
Yeah, that's right. I remember I drove a bus in 1937. Ray Cornwell was a superintendent down there, and they was going to need a bus driver up there in the Harshes Valley, go clear to where Obed Will Scott lived, you know, just before you get to the cemetery, if I turn around. And it's an old, one of them old wooden buses, you know, the seat down each side, and then just the rail down the center that you set a straddle of, you see. And Buford was hauling logs and lumber with truck and trailer. And it was so bad that he would follow me out of a morning to get me to Shaquille here, where I get down there. And it was dangerous to all get out, but they had 10-gallon gas tank, you know. And I'd set 5 gallons of gas on down there where you get in the bus, so I'd have enough of gas to get back to town. Now, that's how, and they'd come along there, you know, them old horse-drawn slips, and them ruts would be about that deep. And here they'd come, they'd fill that up, you know. You'd go in then, boy, that's wonderful. Then it'd come a rain, and the next morning you had to root all that mud and stuff out of there. And old Buford followed me out of many a morning to get me out here with the kids. We had a quartet, didn't we? We sang, traveled around over the country and sang, Well, it was he's called it Pete McMullen, the catcher of the baseball team there, and another friend my age, Ray Harkey, and my brother, me and my brother and Ray Harkey and Pete McMullen. He used to have an old tea bottle, and he'd take us, we'd go down to Card Bottom, down out of Nardale, you know it, charge a nickel apiece. But we know we had a lot of fun. Harkin Valley Quartet's what we went by. We'd mostly, you know, revivals, what we sang in. We went to Hot Springs once, sang over radio right there, way back there. I don't know who got us to go down there, but we went down there and sang over the radio. Oh, it must have been, I guess about 25 or 30, something like that.
He used to have what we would call a work day at the cemeteries, and everybody would just quit and go clean up the cemetery, and then they might have dinner on the ground and bring a potluck. I remember a potluck right over here where they sat down and ate one time and had dinner on the ground.
Yeah.
You don't see anybody at the decorations. You go up to the Harkey Cemetery and you may see five people up there putting flowers on. Where used to, there'd probably be 50 or 75 people up there on decoration day.
Yeah, they would, up there in the valley, you know, they'd take that about, dig down in them rocks and that about them out and dig a grave.
Yeah, Bert Tucker used to. He'd always get Bert to come shoot it with dynamite, you know.
When he
took it out. But that's some of the changes I've seen in the remote areas out here where they're at. I mean,
everything has seemed like it. If we grew up, things have just gone from small to bigger, like machinery and everything, building highways, construction work, such as that, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And used to, didn't have nothing to do with.
Things used to be simple, where you could take care of them. And now it's so much modern technology that changes so much information. Like that information you got, we couldn't have recorded anybody. It's all but word of mouth.
Well, no. Look at there. Look at what that carried that around and record. Telephone you got there, you just do everything on the telephone.
This has been part two in an edited conversation with Bud Rector and J.L. Martin, recorded January 14th, 2012 at Bud Rector's home on Harkey Valley Road in Yell County, Arkansas. This interview was recorded on equipment provided by the Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History, located at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. This interview was recorded for the McElroy House Organization for Folklife, Oral History, and Community Action. To learn more about our work at the McElroy House, please visit us online at mcelroyhouse.wordpress.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Meredith Martin-Motes.
You can read more from Meredith Martin-Motes at her blog, theboileddownjuice.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. It is Wednesday, and most Wednesdays, Daniel Hintz from downtown Bentonville comes in. This is one of those Wednesdays. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, Kyle, for having me.
Before we talk about what's coming up, sorry about the snow on Friday.
Yes. Well, it's the nature of outdoor events. The funny thing was the theme was art and nature, and
there
chalk one up for nature.
Yes.
On that one. I wish art would have won, but no, nature won.
You didn't know it was art versus nature.
No, I didn't. You know, and it was interesting to have.
And you salvaged some. You had some of the musicians indoors and things like that.
Yeah. We were able to take a couple of the musicians and post them out, which is also part of something we're trying to do more of in downtown Bentonville.
Live and learn.
Yeah, live and learn. We made lemonade out of lemons, or ices, lemon ices out of lemons.
There you go. Hey, the dog days are coming up at Farmer's Market.
Yes, the dog days are definitely coming up. We've had a little bit of a rough patch starting out with the Farmer's Market, and I think some of our local farmers have been struggling a little bit. And so some of the offerings that are normally early in the season will be pushed back a couple days.
But you know, one of the good things about this, if you're going to look for the silver lining, is reminding us how food actually is grown. You know, watermelons in the grocery store in January did not come from here.
No. And I think that's why people go shop at the farmers markets throughout Northwest Arkansas. They really get to understand sort of the local ecosystem of our foodways. With that said, while the farmer's market is predominantly driven, obviously, by produce and fresh meats, we do special programming on occasion, pad that out, and Dog Days is one of those programs. And I will tell you, there are a lot of dogs in Northwest Arkansas.
Yes, there are.
And a lot of dog lovers in Northwest Arkansas as well. And so, really, on May 18th at the farmer's market, we're going to be celebrating dogs and their owners and all the majesty and wonder that they bring to our community. Vet IQ is a sponsor for that day, and we've got a dog parade that starts at 9. You don't need to sign up or anything. Just show up with your dog and dress them up, because we're going to have a couple costume contests. And I'll tell you, there are some people that really get into this. Borderline uncomfortably so, I think. But it is really cool. It is really cool to watch that. There's going to be all kinds of different dog activities, as well as some giveaways and some other things. So definitely at the market on May 18th, bring down your dog, and we're going to have a great, great time.
June is not that far away.
No.
And you have, what, the Art and Culinary Festival?
Yes. The entire month of June is dedicated to the Art and Culinary Festival in Bentonville.
Wow.
We have multiple events, upwards now to almost 45 or 50 events the entire month of June. We're not producing all of them. We have a lot of mainstay events, but we're also working with entities like Crystal Bridges, the Walton Art Center, 21C, a lot of local galleries, restaurants. A lot of folks are pitching in to be able to make this big event. The Parks and Rec Department, even the Bentonville Public Library are all sort of contributing programming and activities to really make this a large event. And it launches June 1st.
Well, if it's month-long in June, that would be the best day to do it.
Exactly, exactly. Not only did we sort of launch some specialties around the Bentonville Farmers Market, where we would normally have chef demonstrations on the first and third Saturdays of every month, we are now going to have sort of culinary and chef demonstrations every Saturday through the entire month of June, bringing in some guest chefs, bringing Tuscan Trotter and Chef Rob Nelson, who's a mainstay at the market back all those times. But in that evening, really, it's that opening celebration. We're calling it the Arts Fete. It's going to be at the Peel Mansion, which is a gorgeous setting to produce an event there. Lots of food. Rodney Block and the Real Music Lovers out of Little Rock. We had these guys 2 years ago. Man, if there's a band that knows how to rock a house, man, these guys are incredible. He's a trumpet player. He has performed for U.S. vice presidents. He's been booked at the Arkansas Governor's Mansion a lot. So he's really prolific on the Little Rock scene. Mm-hmm. But he sort of brings this great jazz, R&B sound. So he's really the guy, and his group's going to come down and really launch this whole month of events. You can pick tickets from our organization at 479-254-0254. Tickets are $40 for members of our organization or $55 for non-members. The event is sponsored by NCR, and they're helping us kind of keep those ticket prices at that level, because we're going to have tons of food, great music, and the proceeds go back to support the month-long production of the events. And that's just the start. They can go to our website, downtownbentonville.org, for more information. Keep up with all the calendar of events with that whole thing.
And you've got a film challenge coming up.
I do. Now, this is something that was sort of birthed from the expansion of what was the Art Walk, which was founded probably a little over 10, 12 years ago by Becky McCoy, which was all focused on visual artists. Now we have an entire month-long festival focusing on art and culinary. Out of that and the process and a bunch of folks, Ross McCartney, who's a gentleman here in Northwest Arkansas, came to us with the idea of some sort of film challenge, if you will. First, we looked at 72 hours. Well, someone had already taken that name. As well, what comprises of 72 hours? Well, 4,320 minutes. And it kind of just rolled right off the tongue once you've been in meetings for 4.5 hours. So we called it the 4,320 minute or 4,320 film challenge. So basically, filmmakers come to a very important meeting. I believe it's going to be on the 17th or the 18th of June. And they find out the special theme, or they find out the props that they need to have in this film. They then have 72 hours, or 4,320 minutes, to write.
Also known as 3 days.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Also known. See, but see, yes. I don't know. It gets all confusing. You throw in time and
yes,
deadline.
Right.
And,
right.
So they have to come in with this film done, completed, finished, and ready to be shown to a discerning audience of friends, families, and the other teams who will mock them mercilessly for the other films. And it's really a good time. We show it on the 22nd. It will be at the Bentonville Public Library. It's always free.
And it's something now that you can do so inexpensively.
Yes.
People make films with their iPhones.
They do. And last year we did have films made with iPhones. And we also had some
I guess we can't call it a film then, can we? A movie.
Well, a movie. Correct. Right. Really, we had kid teams. We had professionals join up. And it's really just a fun, goofy thing. They're 7 minutes long or less. Mm-hmm. And so it's really fun for those couple days to see people running all over downtown Bentonville, film crews. All of a sudden, you see this weird cop chase coming through the town. I mean, it's really, really crazy. And then on the 22nd is when we get to show them. Go to our website, downtownbentonville.org. Pick up an application. Applications will be due June 17th, right around that same time. And it's just lots of fun.
Daniel Hintz, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Kyle.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansas Songs. Michael Burks was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, July 30, 1957, and allegedly first held a guitar in his hands 2 years later. His father, Frederick Burks, played bass at clubs at night after working the steel mills. Michael's grandfather, Joe Burks, also played guitar in Camden, Arkansas, where Michael would visit during summers. It was in Camden that Michael was said to have played his first gig at age 6 with his cousin's band. To learn guitar, Michael's father would give him a dollar if he learned a particular blues song in a day. After that study plan worked a little too well, Frederick Burks changed tactics by offering Michael a switchin' instead if he didn't learn a song. The Burks family finally moved to Camden in Ouachita County in the early 1970s while Michael was still a young teen. There, Michael's father established the Bradley Ferry Country Club, a 300-seat venue that hosted R&B and blues musicians such as O.V. Wright and Arkansas-er Johnny Taylor. Young Michael Burks, already long interested in guitar, was soon backing musicians at the club and performing there himself. For around a decade at the Bradley Ferry Country Club and beyond, Burks honed his guitar and performing chops, and he developed a blistering Albert King-inspired lead style and an equally muscular vocal technique. Ferry Country Club closed in the early 1980s, and Michael Burks largely left music for more than a decade, working at Camden's Lockheed Martin Missile Component Plant. Following a separation from his wife, Michael moved to Atlanta, Georgia, where one of his brothers lived. An invitation to perform during intermission at a Chick Willis club date there rekindled Michael Burks' musical ambitions. He returned to South Arkansas, determined to start a new band, and return to blues music. In 1997, the debut album of Michael Burks, age 40, was self-released. Called From the Inside Out, it was recorded by Stuart Bayer of Little Rock in the capital city's Quapaw Quarter and featured all Burks' compositions. From there, Burks signed with Alligator Records of Chicago, Illinois. His 2001 album, Make It Rain, drew raves from Billboard and the Chicago Sun-Times, among others. 2004's I Smell Smoke and 2008's Iron Man solidified his reputation through the decade as a forceful blues performer. And, as Michael Burks continued to win accolades, play festivals, and tour internationally, he seemed perpetually poised for something bigger.
I was born down south, raised in the sticks, thinking and playing ever since I was six. I'll be all for my mama.
Decade seemed equally full of promise for Arkansasian Michael Burks, with the fifth album ready for summer 2012 release and a full touring schedule, including a June 2nd club date in Little Rock. But it wasn't to be. On May 6, 2012, returning from a European tour, Michael Iron Man Burks died of a heart attack at the Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport in Atlanta, Georgia. Later that month, a public memorial and tribute concert was held for Burks on Bradley Ferry Road in Camden. Michael Burks was 54. Here in its entirety is Arkansasian Michael Burks of Camden and Ouachita County with Jammin' at the Wheel from 1997, recorded in Little Rock from his debut album, From the Inside Out. Michael Iron Man Burks of Ouachita County with Jammin' at the Wheel from his debut album, recorded in Little Rock. It's another song of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook.
with Arkansongs.
Arkansongs is a production of FM 89 and Experiment Station Studios. Associate producer of Arkansongs is Keith Merks. For more information, visit arkansongs.org. Arkansongs, since 1999.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. KUAF is supported by Fayetteville Window Washing, offering both residential and commercial cleaning services, as well as power washing, gutter protection, and more. Information is available on the web at FayettevilleWindowWashing.com.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, and Maysville.
Remind me again where Maysville is.
Maysville is right on the border of Arkansas and Oklahoma, also right on the border of Benton County and Delaware County.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of north of Cherokee City, and
which side is it? Is it Arkansas or Oklahoma?
Arkansas.
Okay.
But right on the border, it's where highways 72 and 43 meet.
Of course.
Yes. I had one of the best soda pops in my life once in Maysville. I'd been working on
soda
stories.
Soda pop.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to sound older, I guess. I don't know. I had been working on a lot of stories in the Siloam Springs area, and it was in the middle of August, and it was hot.
Yeah.
And there was a convenience store there, and it may have been the best Coca-Cola I ever tasted in my life.
Because
it's about 110 degrees.
Yes. I was going to say, that's not uncommon. I'm sure we'll get there. But
oh, yes.
I don't know that I'm sure that we will get to those high temperatures this year.
Oh, we will. Don't say that out loud.
Oh,
we will.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. A couple of notes. The annual Fayetteville High School Parade of Champions and Moving Up Assembly will begin tomorrow at 2:45 at Harmon Field. The Parade of Champions honors all the students, student groups in academics, athletics, fine arts, and other areas that have won awards in their particular area this school year. Each student group gets to parade past the homestands to be recognized by the student body. The Moving Up Assembly is an event for the seniors where the faculty forms a gauntlet on the field and the seniors walk through it to say goodbye and thank you to the teachers. And once they have left, the juniors move to their place in the senior section of the bleachers. So kind of a symbolic passing of the torch.
Yeah, I like that. That's tomorrow afternoon.
Mm-hmm, 2:45.
There have been many input sessions around Northwest Arkansas recently. Fayetteville Public Library had some about their future. Walton Arts Center has had some. Mm-hmm. Bentonville School District having
Botanical Garden of the Ozarks.
Right.
Or the Parks and Recreation, Fayetteville Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, so there are a lot. Another one. The Yvonne Richardson Community Center will host a community input meeting tomorrow afternoon beginning at 5:30. It takes place inside the center at 240 East Rock Street in Fayetteville. The center was built in 1996. It hosts a variety of community-oriented programs. There are sports camps there. I think they have a youth gardening program there. Several renovations were recently completed at the center, including new paint for the gym's walls and court, new lighting and flooring in the foyer, new fixtures in the bathrooms. If you'd like more information about the meeting, you can call them at 443-3461.
And speaking of I mentioned the Parks, Fayetteville Parks and Recreation Department, they are hosting the inaugural Park-a-Palooza at Lake Fayetteville next Saturday in celebration of National Kids to Parks Day initiative. Events include a tour of the Butterfly House, the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks, disc golf, kayaking, sand volleyball, a 1 mile fun run or a 5K race, bicycle trail rides around Veterans Memorial Park, a trail ribbon cutting, and the official unveiling of artist Stacy Levy's Spiral Wetlands installation, which is part of Walton Arts Center's Artisphere celebration. More information is available by calling Parks and Rec at 444-3471.
You're going to talk to Ms. Levy tomorrow?
That is the plan, to go out there tomorrow. I know there's a chance of rain, but hopefully it'll be okay. And yeah, I've seen a couple people take a couple of pictures as it's being installed, and it's this floating wetlands.
Sounds really
art
interesting.
Thing in the middle of a lake from what I've seen. So I'm excited to get to go out there and talk to the artist and learn a little bit more, and we'll have more on that. I think that story will be next week.
Monday, maybe?
Maybe Monday.
Maybe Monday.
Yeah.
Efron White was in the Anthony and Susan Hoy studio last night. You'll hear a brand new song from him.
Oh, fun.
Really good. That'll be on Friday's edition of Ozarks at Large.
Excellent. Lots of things to look forward
yes.
to. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
Thanks so much for listening. Tune in tomorrow at noon for an all-new edition of Ozarks at Large. Kyle will be back alongside his co-host, Christina Thomas.
That is correct.
All right. Thanks again for listening, and have a happy Wednesday.